Good morning. It's good to be here and to have the opportunity to share with you a portion of God's Word. Today is the last Sunday of this year. So it's been a great year. And as Samuel said in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, thus far the Lord has been with us. So far, God has been with us, and it's almost the end of the year, and we're still alive. We're still here, so we need to give thanks to God. It's so easy to see what we missed, what we don't have, and not give thanks for what we have, for friends, families, for all the blessings that God gave us. Before we start the lesson, I'd like to say thank you for your support for the Haiti mission. And we are doing as well as we could, and we are plowing away. And the e-toilets that we talked to you about last time we were here have been purchased and have been sent to Haiti and are now on site waiting for the technician from India to go and help us install them. And the plan is to go to Haiti on the 22nd of February, and we will come back on 2nd of March, God willing. Please keep us in your prayers. We have a very busy schedule. So far, there are several that are coming. Jerry Ellis is coming. Elgin Whitfield is coming. Trevor and Christine, Murray and I, and Isaac is coming. So we have a good schedule, and we'll have to use some help from there as we can. The plan is to install these e-toilets, and because they come with solar panels and stuff like that, so we don't have to depend on electricity, which doesn't exist anywhere in Haiti, almost, where we are for sure. And we will also do some more work, like paint the small school building that we have. And also we will try to raise the fence for the property, because it's right on the road going to the Dominican Republic. And it's easy for people to jump those few blocks that we have. So the plan is to raise the fence and put some barbed wire on top and so on. So we have a busy schedule for the few days that we will spend there, God willing. So we have that in mind, and we ask for your prayers. And again, thank you for your continued support, that we just couldn't do it, and you know it, without your help. So we appreciate all that. And today is a special day, and the day that the Lord has made, and we are remembered to rejoice and be glad in it. And for Marie and I, today is even a greater day. It's our anniversary today, 35th anniversary. Can't believe 35 years went by so fast. So we please keep us in your prayers. And she's, you know, been able to just, you know, bear with me for 35 years. And we pray that we'll continue and have some more years with God's help. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw who is invisible. Moses made some decisions. Moses' parents made some decisions. Thomas Holland, in his book, focus on faith highlights some choices for us. He talks about how far-reaching life's choices can be. He reminds us that in early life, most decisions are made for us. When we are young, our parents will tell us when to take a bath, when to wake up, when to go to bed, when to read, when to do this, when to do that. Most of our decisions are made for us when we are young. And that's what parents should do. In Proverbs 22, verse 6, we are told that the parents have the responsibility to train, to guide, direct a child in the way he should go. So the parents have the responsibility to do that. Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 3 and verse 4, that fathers are to bring up their children in the discipline and admonition of the Lord. So it is our duty as parents and grandparents, as uncles, and where I come from, it's said that it takes a community to raise a child. And I can tell you that I remember some older uncles that I feared more than I feared my father. Because when they saw you, they would not go and tell your parents. They took care of business that needed to be taken care of. And you can't tell your, if you go home and tell that, you know, then you get some more. Because, so you know. So it was, however, we reach places in life when we must make our own decisions. That's what we see in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, he made a choice. So his parents hid him. They made the choice for him when he was an infant, so they could protect him. But when the time came, in Hebrews chapter 11, 24, when he grew up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's his choice. So when Moses reached a certain age, he made his own decision. Stephen Spogsby says, we can't choose where we come from, but we can choose where we go from there. That's a powerful statement. We cannot choose where we come from, but we can choose where we go from there. We were born in a family that was not godly. Or maybe our surroundings were not a godly surrounding before God. Maybe our friends or whatever. But we can make a choice for ourselves. Do we serve God or not? It's our choice. And God, even God doesn't push us. God would have created us as robots if he wanted us to just worship him. He didn't do that. He gives us choices. We can make a choice whether to worship God or to reject him. And most people choose to reject God. It's our choice. Life becomes a constant crossroads. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and verse 14, as Jesus preached on the Sermon on the Mount, verse 13, he says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Jesus is not saying that those roads are set there and we are put there by God. No, no. Those roads are there, the gates are there, and he is calling on us to make a choice and to make the wise choice. He says that there is this narrow gate and there is this broad gate. And if you follow the crowd, you will likely end up in this wide gate where everything goes. Many will tell you, if it feels good, it is good. go forward. Many today want to serve God, but in their own way. So whatever they choose to do, God would go with it. God would accept it. Well, that's not what the Bible says. We have a choice. The choice is whether to serve God or not. But if we say we want to serve God, then he tells us how. God doesn't leave it up to us to do whatever we want in his worship. And today you have the entire world. Most people have the Bible open. And yet they're telling you, you can do this, you can do that. And you ask them, where do you see that in the Bible? They can't show you. And yet that's what they are preaching. If you are having trouble finding the right gate, because Jesus says to go through the narrow gate. If you're having trouble finding that, if you need some help, then ask. That's what Jeremiah reminded the people in his time. In Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, we see what Jeremiah told the people. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient path and where the good way is, and walk in it. And when you will find, and there you will find rest for your soul. But you said, we will not walk in it. God says, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient path. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. Not just ask. Some people are asking. They want to know. But when you tell them, unless it matches what they wanted to do, then they don't do it. If we ask God for direction, we must be open to follow God's direction, whether we like it or not. And he says that the people, they know, but they say we will not walk in it. Make the wise choice. The wise choice may not be the popular choice. If you consider what Moses did, what did Moses' choice entail? By making this choice, Moses refused earthly possessions. In Hebrews 11:26, Egypt had the treasures. In Moses' time, Egypt was one of the best places in the world, the richest places in the world. Not only that, Moses had the opportunity to be raised as a prince, to live as a prince, to enjoy all the great things that Egypt had to offer. Moses chose to leave behind all these treasures, these earthly treasures, for the sake of God. And we read this morning, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. For a moment, I thought somebody was going to preach my sermon this morning. That this verse was read. And instead, we need to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Those treasures will last. Nothing in this world will last. It's hard even for us who are Christians to get it sometimes. To know that anything you can see here is not real. It's hard. It's not lasting. If you can see it, if you can touch it, it's not going to last. It's hard. When you work so hard to get whatever you have, you want to hold on to that thing because that's yours. Well, either it's not going to last here or you're not going to last to see it. Somehow or another, these things that we have here are passing. It's better, it's wiser to hold on to what God says he would give us, which is eternal life. In Matthew 16:26, Jesus says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the entire world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? Nothing can match eternal life. By making this choice, Moses refused earthly power. Moses had power in Egypt and would have been great in Egypt. But Moses refused earthly power. Many things happen in this world because of people fighting for power. We as human beings seem to love power. And people will do anything to hold on to their power. They'll lie, they'll do whatever to hold on to that power. Well, Moses didn't consider power on earth as something to be grasped. We agree with Holland, says that, you know the comments. He says that when this man, remember this young man that came, this young rich ruler that came to Jesus. In Mark chapter 10, we read about this young ruler. He was rich and he came to Jesus. And he wanted to know what he could do to inherit eternal life. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says in Mark 10, verse 19, you know the commands, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother. The man said, teacher, all these I have kept from my youth. I have done all this. Jesus said, you lack one thing. You've done all this, but you lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have. Give to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. What is Jesus teaching? Is he teaching that we must not have anything on this earth? We must be poor in order to serve him? That's not what he's saying. This man's problem was his riches. Jesus saw that all this wealth this man had, he put more, all his faith was in his wealth. Jesus said, these things are going to keep you out of heaven. So anything we have, if we're not careful, whatever it is, has the potential to keep us from heaven if we don't give God first place in our life. That's what God is saying. That's what Jesus is saying, that when he told this man to sell everything that he had in order to come and follow him, this man went home sorrowful because he had great possessions. He had great possessions, so he didn't know what to do to leave all these things behind. Well, Moses refused earthly honor. Moses chose a life of sacrifice. Moses chose a life of suffering. He chose a life of service. All these things will, Jesus says that to seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be given to you on top of that. He's not saying that we must get rid of everything we have. But he's saying to give God first place in our life and the rest will come. Seek first the kingdom of God. Moses did that. Moses chose to be with God's people who were in need instead of staying in Egypt and enjoy the pleasures of sin. That's the choice. He made the sacrifice and endured suffering. Why? Because he saw him who was invisible. Hebrews 11, 27. Moses could see beyond the life on this earth. He could see God. Holland recalls us that rewards and punishments are prominent Bible subjects. The Bible speaks of both rewards and punishment. But we live in a time when most people will preach about the great things that God will give. Well, it's true, God will give those things. But he also warns us, if we choose to disobey him, we will see the other side of God. God has both sides. We can't just preach one. We need to know that God is able to provide for us, but he's also able to reward and to punish when the time comes if we don't choose to do what he says. So, did Moses make the right decisions? And how many people you think today would make such decision? Would leave the treasures of Egypt? Would leave all the powers that came with that? All the gifts, all the great things that came with Moses being in Egypt? And Moses did not leave those things in order to go and have similar situations. He left those rich situations to go and live with the poor people of God. That's a tough choice to make. He did not leave Egypt to go to a place similar to Egypt. That's not what happened. Not very many people would do such a thing today. Go and sell that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, Jesus said to this guy. He went home sorrowful. Unlike Moses, this man couldn't do it. My turn and your turn. Both you and I, we have choices to make, and we are making choices right now. We are making choices. In fact, when we choose not to make certain choices, we have made a choice. Sometimes it's not just by making a choice, but when we choose not to make a choice, we made a choice. Because we've chosen not to stand up for God. Sometimes at work, at play, in school, wherever, when we have the opportunity to stand up for God, we shy away because it would not be convenient. People would not look on us with favor. We would not be popular. We would, for so many reasons, to enjoy some pleasures here on earth, we choose not to stand up for God. Well, Moses stood up for God. Moses did not fear what this king of Egypt could do. He said, I'm going to go with God's people. Moses did that. Jesus reminds us that there are two gates, a broad and a narrow gate. And he says that only a few people will choose to go to the narrow gate. Only a few people will choose to do what God says. Only a few people will choose to give up on things that would profit them in this life to do the things that would profit them eternally. We have a choice to make. We have got to this point, to this year. This is the last Sunday of the year. God has helped us. The new year is approaching. We will be faced with other choices to make. The devil will show us some carrots somehow that would take us away from God. Even Jesus was tempted. You remember? The devil says, if you bow before me, I will give you all these things. Although these things didn't belong to him to start with. But he lied. That's what he does. The devil will lie to you, will lie to me, will show me all the great things that I could get in this life if I choose to forget God a little. You have a choice to make, and so do I. May God help us to make the right choice when the time comes, when we are faced with decisions to make just as Moses did. May we choose God and his service over what this world can give us. If you are here and have not yet obeyed the gospel, you have a choice to make. And the choice is to serve God, to please God. And if all of us here have already been washed away, and all have our sins washed away through the water of baptism, then let me encourage you to continue to make the best choice of holding on to God and making God your focus, God and his service your focus. And as Paul reminds us, our labor in the Lord is not in vain. May God bless you.